has done even today in my life, what he's doing, and how he's arranging things miraculously, amen, to help us to make it in spite of all the opposition of the world, in spite of everything that's going on, the darkness of the hour that you're living in right now, the pitifulness of our world, morals are going down and souring, everything is happening, but hang on. In the midst of a dark world, the light of God is shining and the power of God is operating. We're not isolationists where we begin to huddle in our little corner and say, oh, it's so bad here. I'm thankful today that God has insulated my life, that I can live in a world. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. Amen. We're in this. Amen. Salt is no good in a shaker. It has to get out. Amen. And when you live for God and you walk wherever you go, amen, you work wherever you work, and you go, even at a store, people look at you. I don't want them to see people with a certain way of culture, dress. I don't want them to see people with a uniform that they think, oh, you belong to. I want them to see the power of God in operation. I want them to feel something when they walk by me. Amen. The Bible says they brought forth people and they laid them in the street that just the shadow of Peter passing by would heal them. If Peter had that kind of impact, God, let it be in the church today that we can impact people completely. Amen. Are you thankful for the power of the Holy Ghost? Yes. Amen. Hebrews 2 verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed, attention to the things that we have heard, lest at any times we should let them slip. God wants you to get a good grip. Amen. That you hear and pay attention to the things God has spoken. Verse 2, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense and reward. If God has used these angels and they were true and steadfast, and every transgression is going to get a just reward. Verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? You know, if God's going to give a just recompense reward to those that sin, we can, by neglect of this so great salvation, how can we escape, the scripture saying? Because we got a payment due. We got a just thing that's going to be due if we don't live for God and hang on and get a good grip what God is doing. Don't let it slip tonight. Get a bulldog grip in your faith and say, God, I'm thankful for you living in my life. Amen. I want to hold to God's unchanging hand. How about you? Lord, we pray tonight for every soul in this room. Let your spirit, your work, your authority, God, tonight be welcomed and nourished in us, Lord Jesus. I thank you, God, for what you're going to do tonight. Help us to grow in you. We thank you for victory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Please keep your Bibles open to that second chapter. Amen. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You think about it. Verse 4, God also bearing them witnesses, he gave signs and wonders, diverse miracles, and the gifts of the Holy Ghost, which according to his will. Think with me tonight. How wonderful it is to know that God done all this for us. And many times there are so many people that neglect so great salvation. I want to tell you, this is still great to me. How about you? This is great. Amen. What God has done. But have you ever seen somebody neglect an animal? And they leave that dog and they don't feed that animal? Well, I'm from South Louisiana. And our dogs, we hunted with. Man, we used our dogs as hunting tools. I mean, whether we rabbit hunted, squirrel hunted, deer hunted, yeah, we ran dogs. Or whether we coon hunted back in those days. Amen. Those dogs were something that we make sure we took care of. And I want to tell you, they may look like an old dog to you. Amen. That old dog probably, you think, man, that's a skinnier, I mean, that dog, look at him. But I want to tell you, there's men that would pay top dollars for dogs such as that would hunt, that would do great things. And you think, man, that ain't worth anything. But that man, there are people that would drive all the way from Arkansas just to come and buy that dog because what that dog can do. I want to tell somebody today what a great God I don't want to neglect what God has got, what God has given to me. This is more than a hunting dog to me. This is a trophy and a treasure of God's mercy and God's work in my life. Don't let go of it. Amen. Treasure the things of God. Get a grip on what God has done in your life and don't let it slip. Amen. Praise God. Please turn with me also. Amen. The Romans. We want to go to the book of Romans. Amen. The first chapter. Romans, the first chapter. And it's amazing how God begins to show things and reveal things. Amen. We're going to read some things that happens here in the word of the Lord. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For the invisible things of him, speaking of God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead that are without excuse. God has revealed through the invisible his attributes, who he is. And that eternal power and Godhead is without excuse, the word of God says. Now, I want you to look what happened. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, and became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was what? The light went out in their hearts. I don't want to ever let the light of appreciation and the light of God to go out in my life. I want the joy of the light of God, the power of God to burn inside of me. Saint of God, tonight, you've got to be a keeper and a tender to the thing. You've got to tend to the things of God. You've got to be one that maintains and keeps that fire burning. Now, years ago when I was just a young boy, amen, I learned that if you're going to put a fire out, fire triangle, fire chief, tell me about that. What is the fire triangle? Do you take away heat from a fire? How do you do that? Put water on it. How you take oxygen on it. Fuel. You take away the sticks from a fire. And if you take any one of these elements away, that fire is going to burn down and burn out because it lacks some essential things. I just want to say to you, amen, in a relationship with the Almighty God, I don't want to ever let the fire go out in my relationship. I want to keep it churning. I want to keep the things of God burning in my soul. Amen. The way to do that, amen, is keep plenty of fuel in your life. Amen. Fuel your life by prayer and the word of God. We walk with God and we talk with God. We're going to talk about worship in just a moment about the way we worship and the way we have a relationship. But here it's talking about the same thing of neglecting. You can quench the spirit and you can resist the spirit and you can lose some things of emphasis in your life. Amen. The light went out in their foolish hearts, the Bible says. Because they did not glorify God when they knew him. Look what else, verse 22. Verse 22 says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Why? They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made to corruptible man and to birds. And they started making God to be like some image or some idol. I want to just encourage you tonight. Amen. God is not a man. God cannot be measured or equal with a man because God is supreme. He's omnipresent, he's omniscient, and he's omnipotent. That means God is everywhere, God is all-knowing, and God has all power. Brother Will, what a mighty God you've met today. What a mighty God that you're learning about. Don't ever get to that place that you underestimate who God is. Don't ever try to relate God to man. Amen. Oh, I want to tell you, we can't make God something like an animal or a man or a four-footed beast. We don't need a statue. A statue don't reach and do anything. A statue becomes a burden to you. Children of Israel started making idols. They started worshiping idols. Oh, it looks cute. Or it looks handsome.
or it looks beautiful. And they begin to worship idols. They got to worship in images. They started worshiping. And their focus became upon mankind, upon things like that. And I want to tell you, the problem was because of what they did, their idol, their statue became a heavy weight to them. If they were going to go on vacation, can you imagine they had to get all their idols and load it up? I mean, they had a large U-Haul, if we was going to put it in today's language, just for their idols. And to transport their idols, they had to get a moving company probably just to load them up in their U-Haul. Amen. Their idols became a burden to them. Their idols became something, amen, that became a great, great problem to them. But hear me well tonight. Amen. I'm glad that my God, I don't have to carry my God on a shoulder. I don't have to carry my God on a dolly. I don't have to carry my God in a U-Haul. My God carries me. My God picks me up, lifts me up, helps me up, wakes me up. My God is our God. He sees, he knows, and he understands. You ought to be thankful tonight for the mighty God that you know. Amen. But don't ever get to that place that you become foolish and your heart becomes darkened. Because you change the glory. Everybody said the glory. I don't want to ever try to change the glory of God into something God is not. You know what happened in verse 24? Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness, to the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator. Then it says here, who is blessed forevermore or forever. Amen. God gave them up to vile affection. Their women changed the natural use into that which is against nature. Men, I mean, all kind of problems happened all the way through the end of the chapter. They became backbiters. You know what verse 28 says? And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They didn't want to keep God in their knowledge. God gave them up to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. They became horrible people. Amen. I want to tell you, verse 32 says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasures in them that do them. I want to challenge you tonight in your relationship with God. Grow your relationship. Grow your relationship. The heavens, the Bible says, declare the glory of God. Amen. And the firmament of his power. Amen. Even the Psalm, the 19th chapter, talks about creation, the invisible things of creation that God reveals, and it points to the Almighty God. We look at the stars. The scripture says, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars that thou hast ordained. What is man that you're mindful of him? If God has put the universe in place in such a beautiful pattern, how much more is God mindful of you tonight? How much more is God aware of your life? If God is taking care of the lilies of the field, the Bible says, the lilies of the field don't have to clothe themselves. They don't have to spin and begin to make their garments like somebody used to have to spin and to begin to make textile and cloth. They don't have to put all that together and sew it together. The lilies of the field are clothed in a beautiful manner. Amen. I know the master of the Lord, a master of creation, the master of the lilies. If he clothed the lily of the fields, my God can take care of you. You think about all the benefits that God began to do in the lives of people, but they got to the place and neglected. They let some things slip. And they traded and changed some things out for their good, for their benefit, for their ways. I don't want to ever have an exchange. I don't want to ever have a spiritual garage sale. And I use this analogy. At a garage sale, one man's trash becomes another man's treasure. I don't want to ever let this treasure of God becomes something that easily is sold upon the house. The Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth and what? This is not for sale. Hallelujah. Can you look at somebody next to you and say, this is not for sale. Amen. This is not for sale. Hear me. God wants his church, amen, to love him and to grow in that relationship. So when you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, many people think, well, I got the Holy Ghost. And they think, well, I got it. And that's all it is. It's just an experience to them. But Brother Will, the Holy Ghost, you've heard us say, is not a diploma where you think, "Ooh, I made it. I got it. Now I can sit down." But the Holy Ghost is a birth certificate. It is a beginning in your life. Amen. It's something, a brand new start. Amen. God wants His church to let this new start get past just a beginning and to a relationship of an everyday walk with God, an everyday joy, an everyday treasure that keeps on getting better and better. Woo! Now you think about it. You think about it. If there was a commodity such as gold or silver or some price, let's just say oil. If somebody came to you, Brother Will, and said, "We're going to give you stock and you're going to own oil stocks." And the price of oil started going up. And you know it was going to go up. And you watched it start taking an incline. And every day that man says, "No, you could live off the interest the rest of your life. And you could live great because of what you're going to make off that interest." Who in their right mind would go and say, I don't want this stock anymore. I'm going to sell it all. It's not worth that. When it's taking care of you and blessing you every day. Amen. Oh, friend, every day that you have this relationship with God and this treasure with God, there's a growth in it. Amen. It ought to grow greater and better in your life. Amen. It ought to be sweeter as the days go by. It ought to be joyful. Amen. Oh, it's joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. Amen. It ought to be joyful to live for God. But what happens is when we start neglecting this so great salvation, and things started slipping, we start saying, "Well, I don't feel like praying." There's going to be days you don't feel like praying. But prayer should never be an option. The problem is the devil always offers options. From the very beginning, when he tempted Eve, he began to present to the plan of God options. God had a plan for Adam and Eve. God had a plan for mankind. But the enemy always wants you to think that there is an option. I want to tell somebody, when you get rid of the options in your life, amen, you're going to find that living for God is the greatest treasure and opportunity ever. Amen. Get rid of the options. Start living for God. Let God grow in your life. Let that power grow in your life. Let the interest of God become greater. I want to tell you, every step you take in the light becomes greater. Every step you take in God, the power of God becomes greater. The interest rate just keeps on growing. The power of God just keeps on going and flowing in your life. You ought to be thankful tonight for the glory of the Holy Ghost. This thing is not for sale. Now, we find that from the very beginning of time, God wanted relationship. When He created mankind, that relationship was so important. He said, it's without excuse. You know, the heavens declare the glory of God. Creation shows even the Godhead, the fullness of the things of God. And He said, it's without excuse. But many have neglected. And because of that carefree style of life, it don't matter. It was kind of like when I met my wife and I traveled from Brady, Texas to Breckenridge, Texas. Anybody know where Breckenridge, Texas is at? And 2-hour drive in West Texas. There's nothing in between towns in West Texas. I mean, one man went to West Texas and he said, "I've never seen a big hunk of nothing in all my days." Well, I started traveling and visiting with her, and I pulled up at Brother Roach's house, and Sister Watson's daddy was there visiting with the pastor and his wife and family. Sister Mahala was just a young 18-month, two-year-old young girl. And man, my car was making all kind of sounds. And it was a Ford Escort and four-cylinder, I mean. And it was a sewing machine, basically. And I pulled up there, and I mentioned, "Man, that car," or maybe Sister Mahala's daddy, Brother Miller, said, "Oh, what's wrong with your car?" I mean, it was clattering, and I mean, making all this noise. And a little bit later, he said, "Won't you open up the hood?" And I hit that hood latch from the inside, and we opened the hood. And, man, He first thing he did was get the dipstick. And he checked it out. He said, this is your problem right here. He looked at me and he said, this car can't run off of love. You've got to keep oil in it. And your relationship with God runs when you maintain it. You keep it full. You keep the things of God. Even when you don't feel like praying, how wonderful it is to be able to talk to the King of Kings. I don't live by feeling. Feeling's a benefit for living for God. But I live because I don't have any options anymore. I chose to throw the options away and say, God, this is your life. This is no longer mine. I've given my life to the Almighty God. What a difference God has made. Every day I'm living, it becomes greater. It gets sweeter and sweeter like we used to sing. Amen. Every day. Thank the Lord for that. But many people, they've learned how to just come. And they learn, I find, even in church, they learn how to praise a God that they don't pray to. You think about it. I was just somewhere just recently. And, man, I love good, godly music. I do. I love it. I love it when you can't keep still. The Holy Ghost gets all over you. The Spirit of God starts drawing you. I love it whenever, man, the God of heaven comes down with a good song and you can't do nothing but weep. It opens the valves of your heart. I love to be moved by the Spirit of God. But I watch people. All of a sudden, they got the beat going. They got everybody's stomping, everybody's clapping, and everybody's, I mean, it is like, man, they were so involved in the beat that they didn't even hear the message of the song. They didn't even realize what the Holy Ghost was doing, what God was trying to do in that service. And they were just up there. They were just responding to the sound. And they were just performance is all it was. And the singers, they had the hand moves just right. I mean, you ever seen this? The choreography and the hand when they're singing is just perfect time and all this stuff. What happened to the day where somebody just let God be God? Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody said, do you sing by letter? And somebody answered, oh, yes, we do at our church. We open our mouth and let it fly. Amen. I want the Holy Ghost to have liberty in my heart and my life, that I don't have to have a performance. I don't have to have a certain program. Amen. When the Holy God wants that worship, I want to worship Him with a whole heart. So don't ever get to that place where you think that praise, you can learn how to get in the jive without connecting to the Almighty God. I want to know God. I want my life to reflect Him. I want my worship, amen, to connect to God. Even when I don't feel God, I still want to bless God. I want to praise God. Now, I don't want to turn on performance. I don't want my offering to become, my worship to become just a performance of activity. Amen. I don't want to perform for blessings either. There's some people, you know, they want to worship, or what they call worship, for a blessing. You know, that's not what we come to the house of God for. We come to be a blessing, not just in church, but on the outside as well. And worship should never be what we do in church alone. Worship should be something the way we live outside the church. It ought to be in our relationship with God. The problem is, there's some people become people of the box, the building. Now, I believe that when we come to the house of God, we need to pay attention in a place of assembly. We need to realize when we come in to keep this place a sacred place of meeting God and helping people. This ought to be like an intensive care unit. Any room can become an intensive care unit, but you got to keep it clean and you got to keep it separated and you got to keep it sanctified. This should be a place where we come and just pass the coffee out while we're in church and say, oh, here it is. Hey, I need another pot, usher. No, it shouldn't be that way. It should when we break out the nachos or the pizza in the middle of the service. No, no, no. But this ought to be a sacred place when we come in that we give God the honor. This is His house. This is a place of healing, a place of mercy. We don't discredit that. The Bible does say we need to behave ourselves in the house of God. It does say that. And I had people say, well, they never done that. It does say in the New Testament about the house of God, a specific gathering place that we need to be assembled at. But I find that I can't let worship just be in the box. I got to have worship in my life at home and abroad and everywhere I go. I've got to have that relationship in my life. I got to grow me. I got to grow my faith. Faith is like a muscle. You got to exercise it. You got to grow it. You got to develop it. How do you do that? I want to tell you, if you're praying the same way and you're not getting any results, examine the way you're praying. Learn to pray. Learn to seek God. Amen. Learn the heart of God. Many times, have you ever listened to yourself pray? And I'm not talking about praying and the Holy Ghost is moving on you, but I'm talking about in your time of prayer. Are you just one that repeats the same old thing over and over again, where there's just vain repetitions? Repetition, where you're repeating and repeating? Or is your prayer life where it's growing? You're really talking to God. And, you need a front porch relationship with God. I heard that, and, I just heard it casually mentioned one time. You need a front porch. Well, here lately, I get up and I go to the front porch and have prayer meeting. It's pitch dark, but you know what? Amen. God meets with me on that front. I want to have that kind of relationship that I get to talk to God. Amen. It ought not be that, man, I turn it on like, oh, God. No, I just don't just turn it on like I start saying, Lord, I thank you for this day. Yes. I don't, when I go to talk to Sister Crossway in the morning and we have that coffee time together at that table, and man, I fix the coffee. She says it's biblical because the Bible says Hebrews. So when I fix the coffee and we sit down to drink coffee, I don't look at her and go, oh, Kelly. Woo, Kelly. Oh, I love you, Kelly. I love you, Kelly. I love you, Kelly. I love you, Kelly. I know I got 30 minutes before I have to leave. Oh, I love you. And say that for 30 minutes. Oh, we enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Woo! And then it is courts with praise. But God don't want you to stay at the courts. And God don't want you to stay at the gates. God wants you to move into the most holy place, where you get heart to heart with God, where you reach out and get a hold of the things of his mercy. That can happen every day in your prayer time. But it starts with steps. Thanksgiving and praise. Adoration. Lord, I worship you. You're great. And it starts with surrender. Got to learn to surrender your day, yourself to God. You ever had a bad day? Man, we're going to have days that you're going to go through the storm of the valley. But if you got to surrender, God, help me. The problem, we want ownership of the storm. Lord, touch my storm. That's not your storm. That's God is the owner of this storm. Sometimes God's not going to help you out of the storm. God wants to help you through the storm. The problem with Goliath showed up on the scene. And he became the dominant figure in the eyes of the army of Israel. And, here he was. And I mentioned that today. Here's old King Saul. King Saul was head and shoulders taller than everybody else. And he got so perplexed. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're in battle. What are we going to do with this? And he got so scared, he probably was shaking in his sandals. And here comes David. But David, when he faced Goliath, he said, the battle's not mine.
That's right.
The battle belongs to the Lord. When are you going to give God your battle every day in your storm? That's the power of being an overcomer. Instead of you assuming and say, oh, Lord, help my storm. You start saying, Lord, thank you for taking care of this storm. You're either going to take the storm out, or Lord, you're going to put me right through it. I believe that kind of faith and development in your relationship and mindset will help you to grow to be a person of faith. I want my faith to grow. How about you?
Amen.
Now, it's amazing to feel the things of God and to know the things of God when you clap your hands. Carson, I always like to use Carson. Stand up and I want you to clap your hands hard as you can. I want you to understand something. You could clap your hands hard or heartily. There was something, I was sitting next to my wife one time, and we were at a place where they honored somebody, and everybody was giving that golfer's clap. And my wife only knows one manner to do it. If she's going to honor somebody, she's going to do it 100%. And we were not in a church setting, and she stood up And we've watched Brother Bourne through the years. Brother Bourne, I want you to stand, clap your hands. Show us how you clap your hands in church. But that's okay. He's always, ever since I've been here, 27 years, clapped his hands above his head. Sister Crosswhite is standing in this public event, clapping her hands just like she does in church. And I mean loud, and people looking at her saying, wow. But pretty soon people started standing, and because she was clapping her hands above her head like that, and loud, people started doing the same thing and brought honor to that individual. But first they didn't do that. They were content with a golfer's clap. Tonight, when you come to the house of God, you should never give God that little bitty patty cake. You ought to clap your hands with honor. Now, Brother Bourne, it may not be a lot of sound with your claps because of the different things with your hand, but the action of giving God the honor with that hand clap. We've learned the mechanics sometimes of things, what we call worship mechanics, where we clap our hands and don't even mean it. We've raised our hands, not even meaning it. The hand raised. Brother Brent, lift your hands before the Lord. Okay. That means surrender, right? That's a sign of surrender. The Bible teaches now. Put your hands down. If, and I reached inside of here, said, stick them up. You stick them up. Have you ever seen somebody give this kind of praise? Oh, God, I love you. God wants you to have surrender. God ain't going to rob you. God's going to bless you. But God is waiting on the surrender. God is waiting for somebody to reach up with a whole heart. Amen. Oh, God, let it be like a funnel right to my heart. Let me reach to you, Lord Jesus. Let me welcome you. Come on, Lord. Fill my cup. Lord, fill my... Let your worship become real. Because a surrender sign also becomes a victory sign. You ever seen somebody win the awards and they lift their hands? I'm repeating myself because I want to get it in this place tonight, in the hearts of God's people. Let your worship be real. Let your worship not be some mechanic. Let it not be just something you do, but let it be with emphasis. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we use the precious words, hallelujah, let it be real. And then I heard a guy preaching. And after every word, he'll go, thank you, Jesus. And he was talking about the devil. Thank you, Jesus. The devil's mean. Thank you, Jesus. The devil's ugly. Thank you, Jesus. He'll rip your home. Thank you, Jesus. And it didn't fit to what he was talking about. Listen to what we say. Don't use vain repetition. Let it be with meaning. Amen. When you worship God, just don't say those words. But let it be something great. Let it be meaningful. Honor the Lord. Hey, we can't let the value slip, is what we're talking about tonight. We can't neglect and let this great, precious thing slip. Amen. It's got to become greater, Brother Will. That interest, that oil is going up every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. Amen. Why trade it? Why sell it out? Amen. It's kept me this far. We're going somewhere, but hang on. Amen. Worship should become deeper as you live for God. Your honor for God becomes greater and more pleasing to the Almighty God. Oh, God's not looking for good worship. God's not looking for good church. Good church is sending you to hell. It ought to be the best you got. God didn't want a good offering. Well, here's a good offering, oh God. I just got me a good sheep from the fold. It was a good one. No, no, no. They had to bring the best they had. Amen. God wants your best. So when you worship God, give your best. It was so wonderful the other night, amen, to watch this man when he received the Holy Ghost get so excited and so victorious. Man, he ran around this. You know, I wanted to run too. Amen, but this, I couldn't. Amen, my knee has been crickety crick all week long. I'm hurting and I'm like, God, help me. Amen, but my heart was right with you every step of the way. I watched you go, whoa, God, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing in this man's life. Thank you for the power of your spirit. Emphasis, meaning with your worship. Amen. Sister Crosswhite's trying to teach our choir, our people that are up here singing, that when you sing, just don't get up here and perform. Isn't it crazy? I watch even preachers, man, as long as they got the microphone, they know how to whip the audience for not responding. But when they're not behind the pulpit and they don't have a microphone, they're like a bunch of dead toad frogs. Folks, if you want worship up here, you better worship out there. Amen. So I believe that wherever I'm at, man, I shouldn't be a popsicle out there, something just frozen. And I ought to worship God. I ought to give God praise. And you may not be the exuberant type like a microwave popcorn that's... Amen. Not everybody has that. But you can worship God. Thank God for those that just weep. Amen. I can remember as a kid in Louisiana growing up, and the Spirit of God would move, and man, all these kids around me would just be, exuberant. They couldn't keep still. I couldn't get out there and do that. All thing I could do was weep. That's okay. That's worship too. Amen. But God don't want you to just sit there. Amen. God wants response. God wants honor. God wants meaning. Don't ever lose the meaning of worship.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I want you to think about it. Not everybody in the Bible, God made provisions for those who couldn't bring a lamb. He said, if you can't, bring turtle doves. God has always provision for those that worship. You may not can run around the building when you get excited and honor God, but you can worship Him. You can love God. And so let it be that you love Him. Let it be that you honor the Lord. There's a joy when you commune with God. There's a joy in living with God. Amen. We need to be sensitive to the Spirit. We need to give allowance to the Holy Ghost when God moves. But also, on our day-to-day life, remember, you're still living. And you're still living for God. It ought to be that tomorrow, that when you're going through the mundane, everyday cycle of life, that God is still at the center of your heart. That conviction is developed in your life. Conviction is not something that you feel. It's conviction is something you've let God work in you, and you live a life of conviction. You begin to say, I'm not going there. I do not go to these places. Everybody else may think, well, it's okay. But if God's giving you a conviction, honor that conviction. Treasure that conviction. If God has pulled the reins back in your life and told you no, amen, you need to honor that no. It ought to be a valuable no. It ought to be a meaningful no. I can remember as a kid, I had kin people that we would go to their place and they worshiped the Lord, and they did not have the same convictions that we had. But that's okay. I honored them and they honored us. And instead of us saying, I'm more holier than you, or no. I'm going to tell you, I am one that says, God, I'm so thankful. Amen. I got to make it, and I want to treasure what God is doing in my life. Amen. The whole world may be bowing, but I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to bend. I'm not going to sell these things. I'm going to hang on to what God's speaking to me in my heart. Let conviction be something that you grow. Let the counsel of God be in your life where God can speak to you. Let there be full counsel. Your ears are open. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. You grow in your attention to God. Your attention span has to grow. You shouldn't be that one that is still in the little storybook mentality. You know, I love when my grandson comes over the house, and I'm working on the 7-month-old grandson and talking to him. And I more than telling them a story, I want to tell them the truth. I want to say, and I've told them, both the babies that were born, I would say, hear, O Asher, or hear, O Henry, the Lord thy God is one, and him only shall you serve. You know, that was the first thing that the Jews would speak to their babies. That's called the Shema. When they begin to tell them the Shema, it meant, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one, and him only shall you serve. That's the first scripture that these kids heard. But every day they would quote it. Amen. I can remember standing in St. Louis, Missouri, in a place where there was a FedEx place where they would ship out boxes and stuff. And there was an Orthodox Jew that was standing next to me. And, I just like the hospitality. I looked, hey, man, how you doing today? It's good to see you today. Started a conversation with him. And I said, I got something. We got to talking. I said, I have something to ask you. And I said, a meaningful thing to my heart that would bless me. Would you say the Shema, Deuteronomy 6 and 4? Would you say it unto the Lord like you do with emphasis? And man, he looked at me like, you want me to? I said, yes. It means something to my heart to hear it quoted. And he looked at me and he took a step back and he smiled just a little bit and he closed his eyes and he said it in Hebrew, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, which is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. When he said that, two tears rolled down his face. And I looked at him, I said, thank you, sir. And later on, I found out, man, I was fortunate. Most Jewish, Orthodox Jewish people don't do that. But I'm so thankful that God proved his word there. Let the word of God be in you. Let something be amazing to you. Let God be one to you. We walk, we talk with God. We hang on to the value of worship and deliver for God. The way we conduct ourselves, our speech, the way we talk, what we listen to, where we go. Our testimony is important. It's valuable to have a testimony. It's, you know, a testimony is not what you say, it's what you live. See, the evidence of a testimony in court is more than what you say. It's what you see, what you do, and it's more to it than what you say. I know when we say, you know, we want to testify. We think it's just a vocal thing. Your life testifies. It gives an evidence when God's number one in your life. So then the final thing I want to share with you. The Bible speaks that the children of Israel, and I don't know how to tie this in what we're talking about, but we're going to do it. Today I felt the impression of the Lord just to talk about this. You know, when the children of Israel were going through the wilderness, they got thirsty. There was something they got water out of. Anybody knows what it was? It's a rock. And in Hebrews, 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, I think it is, yeah. 1 Corinthians 10, 4, it says that rock followed them. Now, I got to thinking about that. Brother Holt, 2 million plus Jews, a metropolitan amount of Jews, their municipal water came from a rock. Ashton? Think about it. This rock was a rock. It wasn't a stone, but it was a rock. Good size. But 2 million people got a water supply from it. From something like that. I want to tell you, and as long as they honored God and honored the one that was doing, the Bible says that rock followed them. But there came a time and a place where the miraculous of the rock wasn't so great to them anymore. The cloud that was over them, the Shekinah of God that fell and was there, all the different things of God became a way of life. Just became something that has been around. They forgot the God that had blessed them. And the Bible says they turned in their hearts back into Egypt, forgetting the God that delivered them. I don't want to ever lose my grip. Our relationship with God. Stand with me. That rock followed them. Can you imagine? A rock. And out of that rock came rivers of water. Water them to cleanse them. To satisfy their need. The Bible says he daily loadeth us with benefits. Daily. That rock was Jesus. The scripture says in 10:4. 1 Corinthians. I got Jesus that walks with me. I've got a Lord, the Lord God Almighty that is with me today. And from him, there's that eternal source that begins to flow and begins to help me. I don't want to ever neglect. I don't want to ever lose the value and the meaning of my relationship with God. I want my worship to be number one to Almighty God. Amen. Would you lift your hands right now? Amen. Somebody just get one-on-one with the Lord. Amen. And would you love the Lord back for what he's done for you? Come on, give the Lord that praise. Give the Lord that meaning tonight. Lord, I love you and I praise you, Jesus. I thank you for the excellency of your spirit, Lord. I thank you for the glory of the Holy Ghost. I thank you for the wisdom of your word, Lord Jesus. I thank you for the way of your spirit, Lord, the working of the Holy Ghost in my life. I love you, Jesus. I want you to be foremost everything to me. God, I want, God, that treasure to be valuable. I want to treasure the small things that I've received, the great things that you've done. I want to walk with you every day that this is the day that you've made. Today's the day of salvation. I love you. I worship you, Jesus. I thank you today for the power of your spirit. I love your name. I love your word, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. I treasure you, Lord, what your word says. Hallelujah. Thank you today, God. Hallelujah. I want to treasure the things that God says no to as much as the things that God says yes to. I can remember a couple that testified that God filled both of them with the Holy Ghost. And the church where they were attending was a very small church at that moment. And they didn't, nobody talked to them, nobody told them. They were looking and they just felt something inside of them, a conviction. And the man said, honey, he said, I don't know why. He said, he had a class ring, he had a wedding band. He started taking all his jewelry off and he put them in his hand. He said, I just feel the Lord. And she said, honey, I feel the same thing. And they had just bought a diamond for their wedding bands. She took hers off. She took her earrings off. She took her necklace off. And there was a little river that ran there. And both of them parked their car and walked to the top of that bridge. And they threw it in there. And they watched it sink. And they lifted their hands and said, God. And later on, the pastor started teaching. And they said, we never knew. We just felt something tell us to get rid of our jewelry. And the pastor started teaching why we don't do what we do. Why our ladies don't wear this and why we don't wear jewelry. And man, how amazing it was. And they stood up and said, Pastor, you know, that, we felt that, but we didn't realize what. And I want to tell you, that makes you value the things of God. Amen. And when the pastor said, let me just show you what the encyclopedia says. And he taught them about the wedding band, how the Catholic Church began to use the wedding band, and how they borrowed it from the pagan world. The apostles didn't have that. The early church didn't have this kind of things and jewelry and all the fake things. You know, God ought to be our jewelry. God ought to be our gold. God ought to be our treasure. You know what's beautiful? What's beautiful is somebody said, well, I'm afraid if I have one, if I don't have one, you know, this somebody's going to, you know, flirt with my wife. This is the deal. Amen. Whether they have a wedding band on or not, they're still going to flirt with them. But it's amazing, even when you've got a covenant relationship with God and you love your husband and you love your wife, even there's a barrier, there's something about it. You're not for sale. And it's the same thing with God Almighty. Amen. You need to tell the world, I'm not for sale. My relationship with God is not for sale. Brother Will, this is not for sale. This is not for trade. I'm sorry, there's no options. Grow your faith. Grow your relationship with God. And in doing so, you'll find the value growing in your life. Amen. Lord, we thank you for this time. Thank you for your church. Thank you for your people. We give you honor and praise in Jesus' name. Let the church say, amen. Amen. Our guests, brother, we're so thankful to have your family with us tonight. What an honor to have you worship the Lord with us. Amen. Looking forward to meeting you. Remember Sunday morning at 10, Sunday night at 6:30. Amen. We're excited what God is doing. Also, next Thursday night, a week from tonight, Brother Collins, missionary to Taiwan, will be with us. His wife and kids will not, but Brother Collins will be with us, and we want to have a great time together. We just had Taste of Missions Sunday night, but we get a real taste of missions Thursday night coming. God bless you. Let's go to heaven, how? Yeah. You're dismissed.